Traffic Conversations podcast. Welcome to another exciting episode of Traffic Conversations. Today, we're diving into the fascinating realm of self-discipline and motivation. Yeah, I can hear the crickets chirping right now because all of us get that sense of conviction when the word discipline and motivation gets mentioned, especially when you just got through a season when you weren't so disciplined or motivated. So if you've struggled with procrastination and really look forward to a time when you're going to have a handle on your ability to beat procrastination, well, this is the episode for you. So let's get started. First of all, let's talk about what procrastination is, or the roots of procrastination. Why do we find ourselves procrastinating instead of taking action toward our goals? Now, that's a big question. The first reason most of the time is fear of failure. Now, I just got through a season of a few months where I knew I was meant to start another podcast. This podcast was meant to be focused mostly on faith-based content. If you followed my content for a while, you would realize that I am a person of faith, and I felt that I needed an outlet for content that was strictly faith-based. But I wasn't confident that it would turn out the way maybe I would like for it to turn out. And I had to go through a season where I needed to remove the sense of ambition, because this is a faith-based thing, all right? It's not like a podcast that I would set out to say, okay, I want to hit 500,000 downloads by the end of the year. It didn't feel right to be that way, and I honestly didn't know how to go about it, and I didn't want to fail. So for a few months, I kept putting it off, and eventually, after a few convincing encounters, I eventually launched that podcast. So I am not the poster child for someone who has 100% defeated procrastination. However, I'm well on my way. Okay, but one of the reasons why procrastination takes hold is the fear of failure. Another reason is the need for perfection. And I kind of fall within this category of someone who doesn't want to fail and at the same time needs everything to be perfect. Okay, take this episode that we're recording. I got an outline. I got everything in place. And just for me to hit the record button, I kept looking for things that were not exactly right. I looked at my outfit. I was like, is this outfit the right outfit? But I was like, look, I need to practice what I preach. And what I preach is for you to simply start where you are. Start with what you have. And what I have is just me, a microphone, my camera, a couple of lights, and my MacBook and my experiences. That's where I'm starting. So I'm doing this in response to me equally understanding that nothing is going to be perfect in the early days. I still consider my podcasting journey a new journey. When I compare myself to giants, you know, out there who have been doing it for over 10 years. So perfection is something that I really am addicted to. I want things to be perfect. And I know how many things I put off every week simply because it's not perfect. For example, I've been planning to record a workshop on podcasting for busy parents. And I've been putting off that recording for a long time. I'm a busy parent. I know the pressure of trying to run a podcast while parenting and trying to negotiate a timetable with my wife, trying to navigate the challenges of being a parent to three kids who all need my attention at some point of the day, to varying degrees. And I know that pressure. So I figured, okay, I'll set up a workshop for busy parents who want to start podcasting, and with the twist of showing them how to convert their podcast into a product. And I've been delaying on that. Why? Because I want it to be perfect. So this is also me doing some therapy on myself, because I'm going to listen to this episode and I'm like, okay, dude, you're going to need to practice what you preach. So this is me telling on myself, and future me is going to listen to this and is going to rake himself over the coals if that workshop isn't recorded in the next few days, right? So there's a fear of failure. There's a need for perfection. And there's also distractions, distractions from things that that occupy your space. For example, if there's something you're doing right now that can be put off until you're done with your assignment, that is something that needs to be looked into, because many times people put things that they can put off till later in place of things that must be done now. Okay, now if you're in a position where there's a task or there's a dream that you're eager to execute on and you want to launch, but instead of running that project, you're spending most of your time binging on Netflix, okay? Or you're spending most of your time out playing a sport or engaging in some leisure activity or the other. It's very important that you take note of this particular point. Many of us miss out on our opportunity to do the great things that we want to do because we're substituting the very important things to do with things that can be put off till later. We're not putting off instant gratification. Another reason is a lack of clear direction. Sometimes we're like, okay, we have a general idea what we want to do, but because we don't drill down to actually get the specifics of what we're expecting to accomplish, it doesn't crystallize the vision before our eyes, and so it kind of doesn't feel real, and we just throw caution to the winds and do whatever we like. So many of us are in that position where you know that there's a general dream you want to pursue, but you've not done the work to make it concrete, to put it down on paper, or to discuss it with someone, to brainstorm your idea and to have it become more tangible. And of course, get some accountability in your life where somebody is out there asking you, how about this dream that you said you have? What are you doing about that dream? So that's something to look into. So these are the things that can trigger procrastination in our lives, all right? Remember, I'm talking about me too. I am at a phase in my life where I would really want to launch all of these things. For those of you who have been following this journey, I'm really grateful to all of you. I know that it's really been difficult to sustain your focus on this channel because of the seasons that I've had to go through, but I'm really grateful that you've stuck with me, and I'm really working hard and making sure that your patience pays off. So we're going to be pushing out more consistent content. We're upgrading to a video podcasting format. And we're also going to be including the ability for people to join during the recording sessions and also engage in live Q&As. Eventually, we're going to be doing live call-ins where we can do like a mastermind. You call in, you ask your questions, and then we can answer some of those questions and possibly use them as parts of a future episode. So there's so much that I'm really dreaming up for this channel, and I do believe that it's going to be such a blessing for you. Now, self-discipline is something that can be developed. It doesn't fall out of the sky. It's not something that just emerges into someone's life. People are not born disciplined. I have a one-year-old. He is not disciplined. So we don't come into the world disciplined. People have to help us along the way. Some of us are more open to a disciplined lifestyle than others, but we are not 100% disciplined when we all come into the world. So how does self-discipline work for everyone? Well, there is a neurological perspective to self-discipline, and it is believed that it is centered around the prefrontal cortex, which is responsible for self-control and decision-making. Self-discipline requires the overriding your brain's natural desire for comfort. So all of us want to be comfortable. For example, right now I'm recording this episode at 10 p.m. in the evening. I finished from a long day at the office, got home, had time with my family. We have a time of prayer and reflection and Bible reading in the evenings. And after that, I had two choices. One, go up to bed, tuck myself in, hug my pillow, and doze off till tomorrow morning. Or two, go down into the basement, turn on the lights, camera, mic, review the script, and record a new episode. So guess which one I chose? Well, I had to override my brain's need for comfort, because without your input, you're not going to exercise any discipline. You're going to need to learn how your brain works and begin to figure out how to override that natural desire for, okay, I want to go to bed, or I want to, you know, do something fun. Why can't I sit down and watch all the episodes of SWAT that I've missed, or all the episodes of The Mandalorian that I missed? I mean, there's so much that I have missed because I've been so focused on work. Why don't I reward myself? So that's where delayed gratification comes in. But that's also where self-discipline comes in, where I have to tell my brain, yes, you want comfort. Yes, you want to have some fun, but we need to get down to the basement and do an episode. So building self-discipline is something that we all need to do, and it involves strengthening neural pathways over time. I remember the time when I learned how to type without looking at the keys. Many of us still have to look at the keys while we're typing a message on our computers. I was that way. In fact, I used to type with one finger. I would type this way, and eventually I figured, well, I need to learn how to type properly. And I had seen a typing tutor software. I had seen some of the instructions of finger positioning, and I simply sat in front of my laptop and began to train myself on finger and wrist positions to be able to optimally reach the keys that I needed to reach. Now, that was the easy part. The hard part was doing this in real time, thinking about typing something and typing the words without looking at the keys, or copying a text from a book and putting it into something that I was typing. And during that period when I was forcing myself to not look at the keyboard while typing, I could literally feel my brain. I don't know how to explain it. I felt like my brain was contracting. It was like I was moving muscles that I didn't know I had, but all these muscles were in my brain. Okay, now, when you exert yourself to that extent where you're forcing yourself to learn something new and you're pushing past your comfort zone and you're doing it over and over and over again, you're literally rewriting your neural pathways. In fact, it's been said that when you engage in a practice over and over and over again, especially something you've never done before, that the groove in your brain, that a new groove is formed in your brain. And the more you practice that thing, the deeper the groove. So when you look at a brain, you know that the brain has these lines, okay, all over it. Those lines are the grooves. The deeper grooves are the grooves that are formed by activities or actions that that person has basically mastered, okay? The deepest grooves are the activities or practices or skills that that person has mastered. The shallow grooves are the ones that they have not mastered. In other words, they haven't done as much work at perfecting those skills as they have for other skills with deeper grooves. That tells me something, that I am responsible for my level of mastery. You are responsible for your level of mastery. If there's an area of your life that you've not conquered or mastered, it is not because of something or someone else or situations. You're in total control. You can decide whether you become a master of that particular thing or not. So that's the day I heard this, it blew my mind and it actually changed my approach to things. I see now that every time I need to learn a new skill, I'm the person in control. I'm the one who has the power to determine how good I get at that particular skill. All right. Now, it's great that there's the issue of discipline and how we've been able to discover how to do all of this stuff and write new pathways for ourselves in our brains. And, you know, it's all great stuff, but many people deal with the issue of motivation. Okay, you're disciplined, you have a goal, but in between, there's also the question of motivation. Now, motivation can come from two angles, from the inside of you or from the outside of you. I would call it intrinsic and extrinsic motivation. The intrinsic motivation comes from within you. It's driven by personal satisfaction, or let me just use the term personal ambition. Okay, if you're the kind of person who is a type A go-getter, like I must be the best, I must be the top dog in this area, and that is your motivation, you're most likely someone who is in whose motivation is intrinsic. It comes from within you. Now, if you're the kind of person who needs to have an external force, if you will, move you towards your goals, whether you rely on reward or punishment, then your mode of motivation is extrinsic, meaning it's external. Now, I would really advise, okay, if you're the kind of person who relies on external motivation, you can start with finding a circle of accountability and having them motivate you externally towards your goal, but don't rely on them for long. Begin to work on figuring out how to trigger intrinsic motivational signals from within you. What is it about this thing that can be driven from within you? What can you do to build up your own expectations that would drive you towards achieving these things? Okay, so you need to work on that. It is not sustainable for you to to depend on outside signals, but it's important for you to be internally motivated. However, a balance of the two is the best thing for you, because here's the thing. If you have someone who is motivated only by their ambitions, mostly, if there's nothing external to balance it out, for example, you're motivated to be a goal-getter. You want to get this goal at all costs. But something external has to balance it out, and that has to be the external motivation to have great relationships. I achieved this, yes. I am massively successful in this area, yes. However, do you really want your success in this area to destroy your relationships? No. So that external signal that comes from, all right, yes, I am internally motivated to succeed. Let's take what I'm doing right now. I am internally motivated to succeed at providing my audience great content as much as possible. That is an internal motivation. Externally, I am looking at my family and saying, okay, yes, my family would love that I succeed at this. However, I cannot do this and sacrifice my relationship with my wife and children. So many times I have to balance these two. And sometimes when I am honestly spent, like seriously spent, I feel like I don't have anything to give. Many times it is the external that motivates me. I look at my wife, I look at my kids. They don't know it, but they encourage me to find the strength to do some of the things that I need to do, because I am also doing it for them. I'm doing it, to secure a future for my wife and my children. Now, so a balance of the two helps for a sustainable system. Because, like I said, there's a time when your internal drive will be drained. You may go through a very disturbing experience, and you lose you lose the ability to motivate yourself. All right, at that point, it would be great to have someone or people who can motivate you from the outside. All right, so most times it's a yin and yang thing. You are motivated from your internal desires, and then when those internal desires aren't strong enough to drive you, you have something on the external that keeps you going until you recoup your internal drive. So that is something to look at where motivation is concerned. Now, let's move on to strategies for overcoming procrastination. Now, I've been through my fair share of episodes where I am so totally zonked. I don't have any gas in me to do anything. Like, I've been through those times many times. People call it seasons, but I've been through them. And I've had some things that I've done personally, but here are a few practical things that anyone can do to overcome procrastination. Okay, so here are some practical techniques, okay, that you can use. The first technique that I want to share with you is the Pomodoro technique. All right, now is a technique that you can use that is so effective that a lot of people swear by it. Now, the way it's used is this: you break down your tasks into focused, time-limited intervals. So if you have a big task to accomplish, you can decide that you will break down that task into 5-minute sprints or 10-minute sprints. You work for 10 minutes, you take a 5-minute break, then another 10 minutes and a 5 minute break, but everything is focused. While you're working on that chunk of the task, nothing is distracting you. Your phone is switched off. Any alternative screen is switched off. You're in the zone and you're working on this one thing. Many of the big things that I've been able to do, especially at work, have been executed in this fashion. I basically do sprints, and many times my sprints are longer than 10 minutes because when I'm in the zone, I can go on for 30 minutes straight. I don't recommend it, okay? I don't recommend it, but it's what I tend to do at certain times when I'm really on fire. But it's usually recommended that you do it in very short, focused, time-limited intervals. So 5 or 10 minutes, 15 minutes at the most, okay? Then you take a 3 to 5 minute break and then resume, okay? Knock off all distractions, focus time to execute on what you need to do, and so on. Now, I talk to people about podcasting and try to encourage people to get into podcasting. How will this help someone who is in the place of a content creator? What you can do is decide that if you're a podcaster or an aspiring podcaster, what you can do is record 5 minute episodes. 5 minutes, okay? Decide that I would like to record long form content, but let me start with 5 minutes, and then you begin with 5 minutes, and eventually you push it up to 8 minutes, and then 10 minutes, and then you begin to move up those intervals. If you want to do long form content, you can break up a 1 hour podcast into chunks of 10 minutes, 6 sessions, and that is a 60 minute podcast. You break down your script into those chunks, have an outline, and then record at 10 minute intervals. All right, so that is just one way of breaking up a task like creating a podcast episode. That's just one. And you can re-engineer this for your own area of specialization. Now, the second thing that you can do is to use the SMART technique by setting specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound goals. So specific, well, if you've come across this before, you know what I'm talking about. The goal has to be specific, not general. Decide, okay, this is what I'm going to be accomplishing. It has to be specific as you can make it. It has to be measurable as well. Specific and measurable, so that when you're done, you know you're done. There's nothing so frustrating as to feel like you've put in all this effort, but you don't feel like you're done. It has this empty, hollow feeling that you've just wasted your time. But you know you did a lot of work, but nothing came of it. It's a very hollow feeling and difficult feeling to deal with for most people. So you need to be able to measure your goals. The goal has to be achievable. It has to be something that you can do. For example, when I decided, okay, I'm going to record this podcast, I said, okay, I'm going to be doing, this is going to be long form. There's going to be an outline. I need to be done within an hour. When I'm done, I should be able to hit a 1 hour podcast goal. Hopefully this will fall below an hour, but I usually give myself an hour to do each long form episode. It has to be achievable. So I look at myself, am I strong enough to do a 1 hour recording? Have I been overworked? Am I strong enough? Is my voice intact? Is it achievable? Fine, it's achievable. Is it relevant? Is this an important goal for now? Now, there was a period when last year when we first moved to Canada and I needed to focus on getting situated with the family. I really wanted to record episodes. I really wanted to capture the journey, but it wasn't relevant for the season because my family truly needed me to be present and not be a content creator. So that goal was not relevant for that season of my life. Now, I'd like to just take a break here, just a brief break to say this to you. Look, whatever it is you're planning, whatever it is you're doing has to be relevant, not just for the goals you've set out for the project or for your career, but it has to be relevant for your life. The phase you're in at that time in your life has to be married to the goals that you're setting during that phase. If you're at a phase in your life that is not compatible with those goals, then the goal is not relevant. I'm not just talking about the relationship of the goal with the larger project, but it also has to be married to where you are in your life, okay? I just wanted to chip that in. Because many times people pursue goals. Yes, the goals are relevant to their desires, to their careers and everything, but those goals are eating away at their lives. The goals are eating away at their relationships. So it's always important to take note of that. If you're chasing a goal that is, yes, it's great for your career, but it is destroying your marriage, your family, your relationships, and isolating you, then you need to revisit that goal and possibly let it lie for a while until you're in the right place where that goal is relevant to where you are. And finally, the goal must be time-bound. So like I said, specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. Give yourself a time. So right now, I've given myself a time. As soon as it's midnight, I'm leaving the basement. Okay, that is time-bound. All right, it's time-bound. I do not want to be the guy that I used to be who would forget that that it's getting late, and then next thing he looks at the clock and it's 4 in the morning. So it has to be time bound. Between this time and this time, this goal has to be achieved. Am I going to be able to do it? Yes or no? If it's a yes, we go ahead and do it. If it's a no, well, we have to decide whether we're going to leave it half done or we're going to simply put it off to another time when we can do a sprint within the allotted time frame. So just a thought, okay? Now, if you want to add some additional thoughts to this, feel free to leave a voice note within the Spotify app. If you're listening to this on any other platform, use the link in the show notes to leave a voice note to also add your thoughts to these the list of techniques. And then finally, you can use the Eisenhower Matrix. Now, this is a technique where you prioritize your tasks based on the urgency and the importance of those tasks. All right. So always address the urgent and most important first. All right. And then do it based on that hierarchy. All right. So that's the final way, because many times people get overwhelmed by the enormity of the task. The enormity of the project gets to them, and then they're like, oh, I can't do this. I'll do that tomorrow. And then they say they will do it next week, and on and on and on. All right. So think about it. Look into your space and try to apply some of these techniques, one or two of them. I don't think you can apply all techniques in, you know, simultaneously to each problem. So pick the technique that works for you and then use that for your activities to beat procrastination. Now, how do you build a lasting self-discipline habit? You do that by starting small. Okay, starting small. Start by saying no to things that kind of interrupt your process. For example, you're working on something and then you feel the need to get up and go and grab a snack. Okay, now you have two options. Say yes to snack time or no, I need to finish this and I will get a snack when I'm done. Now that's a very small way to start. All right, you train yourself to delay gratification. You train yourself to not do anything else until you're done. You're building up discipline by starting with small things. You're saying no to small things. And while you're doing that, you begin to build up a muscle to say no to the big things that ultimately keep you from achieving your larger goals. Micro habits are habits that allow you to create a gateway to bigger, more impactful changes. Micro habits, like I just discussed, saying no when you think you need a snack. Say no to that urge. Finish what you're doing. Say no to different things that will distract you. Say no to that urge that says, oh, why don't I take a look at YouTube and watch some shorts while I'm trying to unwind. Well, say no to unwinding. It's not time to unwind. You unwind during your allotted break, or you unwind when you're well and truly done with the task. So those micro habits help. So those things add up and then they build your discipline. Okay. Your success with small habits will always build momentum and confidence. I remember when I realized that I could literally say no to myself. Like, I have a habit today, which I built up when I was in between schools, between high school and college. And I began to build up resilience to not have breakfast early. Now, it's something that people would frown against, but I felt that it was necessary for me to do that because breakfast for me used to be a big deal. It used to be heavy, and after I would eat it, everything would slow down. I would not be able to focus in the mornings because I would, you know, I had a big breakfast, and it was something that I knew was a bit of a challenge for me because I needed my energy in the mornings, especially when I got into college and I had morning lectures, and those lectures used to be really intense. In my first year, I struggled because I would insist on having breakfast and I would have breakfast and I would struggle through the morning lectures. So I began to train myself to not have breakfast. I did that because I had the goal of being sharp in the mornings. And after so many years of doing this, it has become a habit that I struggle to break, even till today, where I feel like, okay, wow, wouldn't it be nice to just have a nice breakfast? I found that on days when I have breakfast, my body tells me that something is wrong because my body is not used to having breakfast anymore. It's been almost 30 years and I've done that, and my body is not used to actually having breakfast. So it's used to eating much later in the day, from between the hours of 10:30 in the morning and later. So those are small habits that I built up, and right now they've become a discipline for me. Okay, the discipline has become so strong that my body reacts when I try to force it outside of its long-standing habit. All right. So, in the same way, when you begin to build up habits that are tied to your goals and to the things that you really want to do, it eventually gets coded into your DNA. All right. Take podcasting as an example. Now, podcasting is something that I started doing. I knew that it would be something that I would enjoy doing because over the years, I've had seasons where I have been a speaker and talked for hours and hours and didn't feel a thing. Okay, now I found that speaking was something that I had built discipline for and I could do easily. So when you build up these disciplines, it kind of begins to add up to the other things that you want to do. Like for me, speaking is something that I have practiced over the years, and suddenly it's a discipline where once I get started, you know, it's easy for me to just flow with the topics and get the episodes out. So I just wanted to throw that in. I just guessed it would be helpful for you. Right. So what's the role of setting clear goals in maintaining motivation? Goals are kind of a curse word, especially for creative types, people that just like to create things. You want to do something that is spontaneous. And when you mention goals, everybody just gets like, oh, that's not a good idea. We don't like goals. Goals don't help creativity. Well, you need goals if you're going to be effective, okay? You need goals if you're going to maintain motivation. A few weeks ago, my kids' football team had a game. It was a fun game with the parents. So the kids played against the parents. Now, I hadn't played soccer for years. Lord goodness, over 20 years. My body, you know where your brain says you can do something and when you start doing it, you find out that it was a big mistake. Yeah, that was what happened to me. I got all dressed up. You know, I was like, yeah, we're going to, you know, deal with these kids. And I got into the pitch, ran for the first 10 minutes, and I was like, okay, what have I gotten myself into? Oh my goodness, it was painful. And it turned out that the only motivation that kept me going was, we need to beat these kids. That was my motivation, needing to score a goal. And I scored a goal eventually, but it was hard. It was hard, but one needed to be to maintain motivation. You know, clear goals provide direction and a sense of purpose. All right, clear goals always do that. And when you have a clear goal of what you want, and you have a clear idea of how you're going to accomplish it, it's always very helpful, you know, with igniting and maintaining your motivation. All right. And also form a habit of clearly visiting and revising the goals that you've set. Because if it's really easy to lose track of what you plan to do. You can decide, okay, this is what I want to do. And then you begin to, you know, shift slightly, you know. And when you're navigating, especially when you're on the high seas, a 1 degree change in course can account for miles, like you being miles off course. It's crazy. So when you're in the throes of executing on your dream and you think everything is great, always revisit your goals. Make sure you're still aligned, okay? And when the priorities change, okay, make those adjustments, okay? Don't be dogmatic, but don't be careless with your set goals. Always make sure that you're always aligned to the goals that you've set. Regularly revisit your goals, all right? Because when you begin to feel like you're off course or you're not achieving what you set out to achieve, there was a period where I felt that way. I felt that way because It had been months since I did anything in the direction of building up the podcast and also creating the workshops and courses that I had planned to do. In fact, I had launched a membership last year, and because we needed to relocate, everything stopped. I had recorded some things, I had uploaded them and planned out the structure of the membership experience, but everything stopped. And it felt so frustrating looking at that membership platform and seeing that I had not moved any closer to the goals that I had set. So it has a way of affecting your motivation. It has a way of affecting your demeanor. It felt bad. It felt bad. At some point, I felt really bad, like I had really blown a huge opportunity to grow in this space. So when you stay on track, it helps with your excitement. It helps with all of the feelings that are wholesome for you. Okay. All right, now we talked about having external influences to help you stay constantly motivated. And, you know, people ask the question. Now, I used to be someone who didn't like accountability. I like to be, like I said, I'm really big on being internally motivated, but I didn't have a very strong external accountability system. All right. Now, how does accountability contribute to staying on track with our goals? Easy answers. Sharing your goals with others adds a sense of responsibility. When you've told somebody this is where you're going and they find you way over here, and then they say, hey, didn't you say you were going to be heading in that direction? It has a way of correcting things. All right, when you're accountable to people and they tell you, look, you told us this, but we're seeing something very different, so what gives? Okay, so it really helps to keep you in check. Next thing, accountability partners provide encouragement and hold you to your commitments. They encourage you to keep your commitments, and when you try to duck on those commitments, they hold you to it and say, look, you told us you're going to do this, so you better do it. I like to announce my goals to people so that it kind of forces me to execute. Like when I launched the faith-based channel, it's actually called Freedom Made Simple. Okay, if you're interested in checking it out, it is available on most podcasting platforms, Freedom Made Simple. So before I launched, because I had been put, so I called a few people and said, look, I've been thinking of starting a podcast. This is what it's about. And this is when I want to start. Do you know what happened? I started recording those podcasts. In fact, I made some of those recordings live to allow for people to join while I was recording. So it forced me to do those recordings. So accountability is a great thing, and it will help you break that spirit of procrastination. Social support always helps you persevere through challenges. Look, no matter what anyone says, if you're doing something that matters, there will always be times when you'll hit a problem. There will be an issue, there will be a situation that isn't comfortable, and you will need encouragement. So always remember that. Now, let's talk about failure, all right? Failure will always happen. And there are times when that failure can cut so deep that you just want to give up, all right? I've had several seasons like that where I just wanted to give up. So how can we reframe failure as a stepping stone towards progress? Because failure could happen to you and you could decide that that's it. You you don't have a chance to succeed at this thing. But how can you switch that perspective so that you're, so that whenever a failure happens, you see it as a stepping stone? Okay, so here's what you should realize. Failure offers valuable lessons and insights for improvement. I usually say this, and I learned it from Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison was asked by someone, because it had been rumored that he had 1,000 trials while he was attempting to perfect the electric light bulb. And someone was interviewing him and said, well, I guess you failed 1,000 times. And Thomas Edison says, no, I found out 1,000 ways not to do it. All right. Now, that's a perspective, because failure will offer valuable lessons and insight for improvement. You know how not to do it. You know how to improve, what you need to do differently. Now, when you fail, it's very important for you to have self-compassion. Be patient with yourself, okay? Be kind to yourself, because it's really important that you don't beat on yourself too much, because it's demotivating, all right? Self-compassion allows you to foster resilience, and it reduces the fear of failure, all right? Because one of the fears of failure is fear of punishment, all right? And if you're punishing yourself, you're really creating an environment where you don't look forward to experiencing failure. And in order to avoid failure, you avoid trying. All right. So that's something that that you need to look out for. All right. So you have to view setbacks as temporary. Okay. They're temporary setbacks, and you should avoid seeing them as a defining moment in your life. Like, this happened, therefore I'm never going to make it. These are the things that contribute to a buildup of the need to procrastinate. All right. You feel the pain, you feel the embarrassment, you know you're going to, like, I have beat up on myself in, you know, in the past. There are things that I was meant to do right. I remember one time at a summer camp, and we were supposed to sing a song. It's one of these songs where the verse is split into different parts and different people sing those parts. And I fancied myself to be an okay singer. I sang in the choir at church, and I felt that, well, I was one of the most experienced singers over there. So, hey, give me a part. So they gave me a part, and when it was time to sing the song in front of all these teenagers, it got to my turn and I froze. It was bad. And for a long time, I carried that cloud of failing in front of a crowd of people. It was bad, but I got over it, you know. But that could have been a defining moment, because a year or so after that experience, I began to feel a pull towards speaking in public. Now, if I had allowed that setback that happened in front of hundreds of teenagers become a defining moment for me, I would never have taken the next step towards public speaking. All right, so it's always great to keep this in mind. Yes, you will fail, but don't let those failures be a defining moment for you. Do not let it stop you from what you're going to be doing in the future. All right, just keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. All right, now, there are a few questions that I'm going to be taking. I'll just read them out and then answer them. I may not dive into too many of them because we've already run so long. So maybe I'll take one, okay? One key question. And if you have questions you want me to handle, You can use the link in the show notes to leave a voice note, and then I would respond to those in a future episode. Yeah, because we're going to be treating these as a part of other episodes as we go along. Okay, so one question is, how can I stay motivated when working on long-term projects don't yield immediate results? How can I stay motivated when it's a long-term project and there are no immediate results? All right, so one thing that I would recommend that you do is break the project into smaller milestones so that you have a sense of progress. So if you have a multi-year project, break down the goals into quarters, break it down into segments, okay? Either time segments or result segments, all right? So that when you achieve those things, there's a sense of progress. Visualize the end, okay? The end goal and the impact it's going to have on your life. Just keep that picture in mind. Break it down into small segments. Have a picture of what it's going to look like when you finally achieve that big goal. You know, there's something that architects and builders do when they are building a really big structure. Before they start, they have a photo or a printout of the finished building, okay, somewhere on the construction site. And they kind of keep looking at that picture, saying, okay, look, right now it's just an empty lot, but eventually it's going to be this. And they keep that picture there in front of the construction workers, in front of the architect, in front of the client, anyone who passes by and sees all the work and all the mess going on in the background, looks at the picture, and it's like, okay, that's where we're going with all this noise and mess. That's what you should do. Have a visual aid that shows you where you're heading, and keep that in front of your eyes, all right? Keep that in front of your eyes. Now, I have a ton of other questions that have been put up, but I'm trying to keep this within a 1 hour episode. So I'm going to be ending it here. If you have questions, remember, use the link in the show notes to send in your voice messages. I'm going to be using the voice messages in future episodes, and I will be looking forward to engaging at that level. Remember, we are going to be opening up the back end of our recording studio so that you can be a part of the virtual audience and send in questions in real time while recordings are happening. And if you want to call in, you know how people call in during radio shows to ask their questions, all right? We're going to be doing that very soon, all right? And I would like to have you become a part of that experience. All right, so as we're shutting down this episode, what are we taking away from this long conversation? One, it is time to put all of this into practice, all right? Put all of these, all of the things you've learned into practice. Take one of the methods that you've learned, whether it's the SMART goal setting system, or if it's the Pomodoro system, or if it's the Eisenhower system. Take one of these that works for you, okay? If you need an accountability group that's going to help you achieve your goals, then find people to be accountable so that you can achieve your goals. Don't leave anything to chance. Don't leave anything to chance. If there's If there's something you need to do, do it quickly. Don't procrastinate. Don't procrastinate. All right? Find a way to stay motivated. Don't let yourself get demotivated. If there are things or people or places that demotivate you, stay away from those things, places, and people. All right? Now, thank you. We covered a lot of ground today. From understanding procrastination to harnessing the power of discipline and motivation. But remember, progress is within your reach, okay? Progress is within your reach. Don't let yourself give up, all right? Don't give up. Keep pushing. Progress is within your reach. Until next time, stay motivated and keep striving for your goals. God bless you.